And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, and we want to thank you for spending the next half hour with us as we are talking about the Word of God. We've been talking for some time now about do not worry and what people worry about, and it is an unprofitable exercise. And so recently I had a digital communication with someone, and they kept bringing some things up, and I said, look, I'm doing a teaching on the radio right now out of Matthew chapter 6, and it says repeatedly, do not worry. Everything's going to be okay. You do not have to worry. And I said, God delivered me from that, and I have no intention of going back to that lifestyle. And I pray that that is the same mindset that you have, is that, look, I'm not going back to a bad, unhealthy, unproductive act of life that many other people choose to operate in. I'm not going to exist there. I'm going to choose to live in faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. And so just want you to know, if you're going through that, if you're battling that issue, you are not alone, but you do not have to get stuck there. You can get victory over that. And so that's what we have been talking about. Today I'm going to read verses out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 34. And then we're going to pick up at verse number 32. Do want to invite you out to Merit Assembly of God. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. And, you know, we exist to be a blessing. That's why we're there. We are blessed by God. It might not look like blessing to other people who have multiple, you know, church buildings and multiple services and all of that sort of stuff. But let me tell you, if you knew where we came from and you saw where we are now, you would say, wow, you all really have been blessed by God. And we don't say that to boast or anything like that. We just say, okay, that blessing empowers us to be able to be a blessing to other people in the community. And so that is really what we are striving to do and to be. So if you look at our Facebook live streams, I had this conversation with a family member who was watching it, and they said, well, how many did you have in church today? And I told them, and this last week was evidence that there is some return, some migration back to live worship. And so we're always thankful whenever that takes place. We continue to press forward. But we also have the Facebook live stream. Most week we upload to YouTube as well. And if you look at the cameras, this person said, well, you hide them really well, because it didn't look like you had anybody in church. And I said, well, you know, we've got our chairs social distanced, and so our camera is shooting right up the aisle, and we got a number of folks that are camera shy too. So, you know, if you sit strategically, you can make it look like it is just a live stream service, but it is actually not. So we've had other people ask, are you back to live services? I said, we've never really stopped. We had a couple of services where it was just live streamed only, but for the most part, every other service, there's been a minimal amount of people on up to where we're getting back to where we were before the pandemic that comes back. So let me take you to Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 31 says this, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, let's let's look at verse number 32. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Now, I was a little surprised when I did the research here that the word in verse 32 for Gentiles seek is a different word than is in verse number 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. There's a different mindset. And so I want to talk to you before we get into verse 33. I want to talk to you about the things that the Gentiles seek. So I did some research. I've got a couple of different Bible programs, and I've discovered that both of them have some strengths and that complement the other program. So it enables me to get a little more in depth in the research, but I still want to keep it simple. What I found is that the word for Gentiles seek, it means to search intensively for, to demand, or to crave. To search intensively for, to demand, or to crave. And so they will do all sorts of things. Much of what we see going on in the space program is there are a lot of people who are searching intensively for life outside of our solar system here. They're looking for life outside of planet Earth. And so they're really going after that. But it says here to search intensively for, and I looked at what the list of everything that was talking about in the verses leading up to it. So what is it that they seek? For he said, for after all these things the Gentiles seek. Well, they seek for life. They want to go on living, even though modern philosophy says that this is all there is. There is no heaven. There is no hell. We weren't created on purpose. We're more or less a cosmic accident. And when you die, you're dead. That's what modern philosophy teaches. It's not biblical philosophy. Biblical philosophy says you were created and designed by God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are strategically placed in time and geographic location, that God has a purpose for you, and that his ultimate will is for you to have relationship with him, repent of your sins, accept him as the Lord of your life, and spend eternity with him forever in heaven. Those are two diametrically different philosophies. One is fatalistic, and the other is filled with hope. Thank God that God is a God of hope. So there are people, and they embrace this, that once it's over, it's all over mindset, and so they go out and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow they die. But yet when they come to the end of that road, they say, you know what? I'm not quite as confident that this is all there is, and so they will do everything within their power to prolong their life just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. So listen, life is good. God wants us to have life. He wants us to have it abundantly. But there are people who they're demanding it, they're craving it, they're talking about what they eat, what they drink, the food that they consume. They use it almost as a status symbol. They are obsessed with their body. They're obsessed with their body. Now, remember, we've talked about there's a difference between treating your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit and, on the other hand, treating your body as if it's an idol. Those are two different things entirely. So we need to say, you know what, God, I thank you for this body, but one day this mortal body is going to put on immortality. This corruptible body is going to be incorruptible. And if we are part of the group that precedes the return of Christ via death, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then though we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we need to use our body as instruments of righteousness. There is a tool. There's a reason why God created us, body, soul, and spirit. And so we need to use this, but We cannot go out and make an idol out of the things that other people make idols of. We talked about clothing. Another thing that I saw as I was studying before I came in here, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? They're not only concerned with the physique, they're concerned and about am I tall enough? Am I too tall? All of this sort of stuff. Listen, worrying will not change any of that. Worrying will not change any of the stature thing. There's one more thing that they worry about and that they seek after, and that is, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, there's a fine balance that we have to live in this life where we are balancing the needs that we have today versus with the preparing for the things to come in the days ahead. It's a balance. If you get out of balance in that, if you say, you know what, I don't really care about what goes on today, I'm just going to write this one off, then you are going to have some things you've got to face tomorrow that you should have dealt with today. So you're going to create problems for yourself. You know, the old saying is the failure to plan is a plan to fail. So there is a balance there, but there are some other things where people get so obsessed about tomorrow that they deprive themselves of the victories and the joy that God wants them to experience for today. So the Gentiles are all about tomorrow and trying to deal with tomorrow today. That's not going to work too well for you. It's going to lead to a great deal of frustration. We have got to figure out what our needs in life are versus the luxuries of life and the wants of life. Okay? There are a lot of different things that there are needs, there's luxuries, and there's wants. And so you need water. You need food. You need air. And you need shelter. You need people to be around. Those are some basic elemental needs. But there are some luxuries in life. And in America, one of the things that happens is we have taken from the wants list and we've tried to transform wants into needs. So a lot of people say, well, I've got to have a car. Well, I've had a car since I was 16 years old. And I tell you what, I've paid a lot of money in insurance for cars through the years, and I have paid a lot of money in repairs for cars through the years, and I've had them be a real blessing, and I've had them be a real inconvenience in my life. And so when you take that want and you say, now it's a need, now that realigns your financial priority. So there's a point in time in my life when I look back now and I say, you know, it was nice to have a car then, but in that particular situation, I really did not need a car. I was making a car payment and I was paying for insurance for a car I really didn't need. And you say, well, when was that? Well, I was living in Chicago, and they've got one of the most phenomenal transit systems around. There is a bus that you only have to walk maybe a block or two to get to a bus stop, and it goes north and south. You've got trains that can go a little farther out into the community. You also have the elevated subway trains. They call it the L. And I could have done almost everything that I needed. I literally had a grocery store right across the street from where I lived. It wasn't a need. It was a want. It was a luxury. It was something nice to have. So if we cannot identify what is a need and what isn't a need, we're going to be seeking after things that are really not necessities. Many things that are described as necessities here in America are considered luxuries in much of the rest of the world. So clothing is a need, but it can also be a luxury if you only insist on having a certain brand of clothing. So Gentiles are constantly seeking, they're seeking to expand their need list. And I think that we need to be careful that we do not find ourselves chasing after things that are luxuries and treating them as needs. We get to live a life of great discontent doing that. So I made a list of going through the scriptures here of some things that Gentiles or unbelievers, people who are not walking in covenant with God, what are some of the things that they go through life seeking? Well, let me take you over to Matthew chapter 8. A lot of these are going to be different segments of unbelievers. Some are going to be talking about the Pharisees. Some are going to be talking about lawyers and scribes. Some are going to be talking about different subsets of unbelievers, but all of them have a less than an ideal thing that they are seeking. So in Mark chapter 8, I went to Matthew chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, we get over there, and verse number 11 says, "Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in spirit and said, 'Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation.'" Okay. Unbelievers are constantly looking for one more sign. One of the things that I realized about this sign-seeking group of people is that they are not looking for a reason to believe. They are looking for an excuse as to why they won't believe. I'll try and say that again. Many people are not looking for a sign so that they will believe. They are looking for an excuse as to why they will not believe. The Pharisees knew the word of God. They knew everything that they were supposed to be looking for, and they spent the entirety of Jesus' ministry here on earth, about 3 to 3.5 year period of time, they looked for and demanded, they were seeking after one more sign. So we have entered into a new stage of activity as grandparents, and that our grandson is now playing baseball, and it's really fun to get out there and watch them and things like that. But the field where he plays his games are not in our community, and we know the general area of where the baseball field is, and I'm getting better at recognizing it. We went to a game in the spring, and then, you know, everything got shut down. So they resumed play here recently, and so we were going to a game here the other day. It was his first game back, and just absolutely adorable to watch him get out there and go through the learning process and things like that. But I knew that I had a difficult time knowing where the turn was. And so being that I'm try to be a considerate driver, I'm constantly looking in my rearview mirror to make sure that my lack of awareness as to where I'm going doesn't impede them. So that's one of the things that I do. So I get up there, I'm driving, and I know I'm headed in the right direction, and I know I'm getting close, and all of a sudden I see a bunch of American flags on a fence, and I said, aha, I bet that's the sign that I'm looking for. That's where I'm going to turn. And I got up there, and there wasn't any place to turn. It was just a person with some American flags. And so I said, okay, I don't think there's a turn up here other than the turn to get into the field. And I go a little bit further, and there's a turn, and I go to make that turn, and I realize that's not the right turn. So I've been looking for something, I've been seeking it, and yet the two things that I've thought I had found ended up being erroneous signs. Right after that, I mean, within 100 yards or so, if I had been paying attention, I would have seen it. There's a sign, and it says, this way to the park, to the baseball field. It identifies the park and everything. And I said, now that's the sign I'm looking for. That's the sign that tells me right where I need to turn. So it's not just a sign. It needs to be the right sign. And the greatest sign of all is that Jesus was born. He lived a sinless life. And he came not just to preach a message. He came to fulfill all the laws and the prophets. The rich man who died and went to hell and was in misery and torment, and he saw Abraham and Lazarus was there, a poor man who had died, and he said, would you send Lazarus to dip just the tip of his finger in some water and put it on my tongue so that I could find just a little bit of relief? And Abraham said, that's not possible. The chasm between where you are and where we are is very, very large. He can't do that. And he said, would you send someone back to my brothers so that they do not end up in this miserable place? And the response was this: they have all of the signs that they need. If they will not believe the law and the prophets, they will not believe even though someone comes back from the dead to testify. The resurrection is a marvelous supernatural sign. There, everything that needs to be done, that needed to be done in order for us to have faith in God, has already been done by Jesus Christ. Today, if you have been postponing, if you have been just delaying and saying, you know what, I just need one more sign, I want to tell you that is a lie. It is a delusion from the devil. He is deceiving you, trying to get you to postpone putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not fall for it. Unbelievers are always looking for another sign. If he had given them the sign they wanted then, they would have asked for one more sign. You know what happened was, there was a man who had been born blind, and Jesus healed him and gave him his sight. And they said, well, how could this possibly be? And the man finally said, look, are you wanting to become one of his believers too? They were looking for a reason to rationalize it so they wouldn't have to put their faith. You see, many of them were afraid that they were going to lose their position of influence. They were going to lose their power if they put their faith in Jesus, not knowing that putting your faith in Jesus breaks the power of the enemy in your life, disarms his weapons, renders them useless, and equips you with the grace and the power to be able to live the life that God always wanted you to live. What sign are you looking for? Are you looking for a sign? Because really, you just need to look to the Word of God. You need to say, God, you have already done everything that needs to be done. I'm not going to wait another minute. I'm going to ask Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior right now. It's a Tuesday. You know what happens? A lot of people think, well, I can't ask Jesus to be my Savior except for on Sundays. Well, whoever said that? You know what? The Holy Spirit moved mightily in the early church, and they added to the church daily such as should be saved. Not weekly, daily. If you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I want to encourage you to say, you know what, I'm not going to seek what everybody else is seeking for. A lot of people are seeking for a reason not to believe. The Holy Spirit is moving in my life right now to the point that I want to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to say yes right now. I've seen all that I need to see. Here's my philosophy. If Jesus never does another thing for me, he's already treated me better than I ever deserved. We are blessed and highly favored. We are saved, forgiven, and headed to an eternity in the presence of Jesus. What a blessing. Okay? If you'd like that kind of hope, I want you to pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that you loved me so much that you sent your Son that I could be forgiven of my sins and Jesus could be the Lord of my life. I say yes. I've seen your love, and I say yes to the fact that you are holy, you are just, and you are my Heavenly Father. Be the Lord of my life. Empower me to live for you so that other people will see me as a sign of your transforming grace. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, would you let us know? We'd like to celebrate with you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.